everyone, and welcome to another episode of From No Crypto to No Crypto. I'm your host, the crypto coach, Blockchain Wayne. Today, we're joined by Jonathan Hessing. Jonathan is the founder of Keyspace. Man, Jonathan, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here. Super excited.
Absolutely, man. Been looking forward to this one. I'm a long-term fan of NFTs, and I love what you're doing, and we're going to jump into all the great things that Keyspace is doing, man. But before we jump into that, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what got you into this space?
Yeah, happy to. Thanks for asking. So, founded, you know, like all good, at least Web2 tech stories start. I founded my first company out of my dorm room in college and, you know, decided I wanted to build that up. I was able to get it funded. So, you know, I kind of left college for a bit and we built that up. And actually, my first foray into Web3 was in 2017. That company is in the video delivery stream, you know, video delivery space on the back end. And in 2017, we had an awesome idea where we were going to take the GPUs on devices, phones, and computers and contribute bandwidth and storage to a live video delivery network. And in return, you'd be able to be compensated with the token. Well, obviously ICOs in 2017 got hit pretty hard by the SEC, so we pivoted and raised traditional funding. And as that company went on, I realized that, you know, I wasn't the best one to lead that company at that time. I was 23 years old, and my CTO was very experienced, very intelligent, has had acquisitions before. This industry ran through his DNA, and so I stepped aside, and, you know, for the next few years, that became my business school. And in 2021, when the NFT boom happened, you know, so I'd always been crypto Web3 adjacent since that point. In 2021, when the NFT thing happened, it absolutely blew my mind. But I understood that what goes up must come down. And in fact, the quicker it goes up, the harder it comes down. So I anticipated that there was going to be a crash of sorts, right? And I'm not saying I'm an oracle or like I'm Nostradamus, but I mean, it's hype speculation. I mean, you know, right? It's pretty, you can see it coming a mile away. But what was really interesting was for the first time in history, you could authenticate a digital asset. And there's a lot of ways to talk about this, but this book I recently read, The Everything Token, outlines it really well. And concisely, if I wanted to send you a song, the only way I could do that is upload it to YouTube or upload it to one of these walled garden platforms and send it to you. If I wanted to give you a picture, you know, maybe I could email it to you, but how would you know that it's a one of a kind, or how would you know that I wouldn't sell it? So the thinking was, okay, this is a historical milestone where a relationship with a digital asset is changing and will be changed forever. And if it can apply to art, it can apply to loyalty. And so begun the journey of Keyspace Studio.
Love it, man. I definitely agree with a lot of, you know, everything you said there. And in fact, on our last call that you and I had, just reminded me, I ordered that book. I got to check on it. It should have been in by now.
Love it. You'll love that book. And shout out to the writers of it. Really eloquently written.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'm looking forward to. I'm actually just wrapping up reading Broken Money. So it's going to be good to jump into that to see, because I've been a long-term fan of NFTs, man. I found out about NFTs. I bought my first NFT in 2017, and I collected sports cards as a kid. So it was that was what clicked for me right away, because initially I wasn't thinking like all the things like you were. Now, when I went down that rabbit hole, I eventually saw everything, but I was just thinking, man, when I had like a top-notch rare baseball card, and the corner got dinged, man, it really killed the value of it. And I'm like, man, digital collectible, it's same scarcity. And let's face it, those things are bulky. I've got like, in my office, I've got a box in the corner that still has some of those cards in it. And it's like, it's bulky, whereas this could be in a digital wallet.
Well, and so, there's another component too, if I could hop in right there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wearing a shirt 404 DAO, you know, kind of representing our city DAO in Atlanta. So that said, I obviously live in Atlanta. And one of the use cases I like to give is Trae Young, right? He's our superstar. He's our superstar for the Atlanta Hawks. If I own his card, how can the Atlanta Hawks get in touch with me and say, hey, for all the Trae Young rookie card holders, we're doing courtside seats for this upcoming game? Maybe they know. I don't, first off, I don't even know how they would know if I bought the card at Walmart or wherever it came from, much less if I traded the card to you. How would they know that you're now the new holder? Right? So there's this preservation, this immutability that you're talking about, but from a loyalty marketing perspective, there's this component of being able to retarget or target anew and use it as a loyalty engagement asset.
Oh man, that's something that most people don't think about. That creates a whole new level. That's that direct engagement, direct connection that you don't have with any other kind of asset, even with an email list. I mean, let's face it, email lists are just a spam folder. But if you can look at who holds an asset and market to those loyal, offer some kind of perk, that increases the value of the digital asset itself.
Absolutely.
I even thought about when you were explaining that. I was thinking back to my baseball card scenario. Like, man, wouldn't it be cool to be able to go on a ledger and see who all owned this Mickey Mantle rookie card from 1950 whatever to now, right? That would be amazing because you'd be able to see not necessarily who they are unless they have like a DID attached to that. But if that technology would have been there, you could at least see, okay, this is who held it, the wallet, and these are other things that were in that wallet at the time.
Yeah, and much, so you have that, right? You have this like library card style ledger of all the holders. You've got the targeting from the brand itself, right? So the Atlanta Hawks targeting Trae Young. But what about like external utility, right? You see like in these in I don't see it as much in Atlanta, but maybe in like Midwestern states, you see like how there's these small towns where all the small businesses go team name, and they write it on their windows and they put the flags out. So what if a local small business wanted to offer value and utility to those holders? If you're working with an email list, you have to hit up the Atlanta Hawks and say, "Hey, who are all the people that hold this asset?" In Web3, you can pull the smart contract and you can make a token gate, or you could send an airdrop. If I'm a mom and pop pizza shop and I want to support the Atlanta Hawks, hey, we're airdropping 50 digital pizza coupons to people who hold the Trae Young card. And I can pull that without the need for APIs or walled garden, like give me your email list kind of relationship.
Or even permission from the Hawks, right? That allows you that ability to, you can work in collaboration, or you don't have to. You could just say, hey, I want to target those owners. I want to market to them, offer them a perk.
And let's say there's a high and great point. Let's say there's a high engagement rate and a high take-up rate. If I'm the Atlanta Hawks, I see that you've been offering utility to my holders for the last year and it's been having a high engagement rate. Maybe I go to you and say, "Hey, do you want to sponsor X next season? Sponsor Y this season?" So there's real business impact that can come from this. It's not just building community. It's not just building loyalty. It's not just marketing. There is true business impact that can come from on-chain loyalty.
Absolutely. And that's where also people need to get out of the fact to just like focusing so much on saying, oh, it's an NFT. It's just, yeah, it's an NFT. That's the technology behind it. But it is like a next level loyalty rewards program, membership program, however you want to use it, right? It's authentic verification program for goods that you want to make sure aren't counterfeit. So there, I mean, there's so many different things, just that underlying technology. I mean, we don't do it in the internet today, right? We don't say, go to this DNS name, this. We say go to the website, right? And type it
Yeah,
in.
I'm not listening to that Drake MP3. I'm listening to that Drake song. Yeah.
Exactly. Perfect example, man. I was searching for the words, but you nailed it right there. All
Yeah.
right, man. Yeah. So let's, great conversation so far, man, but it's perfect segue to run into, tell everybody about Keyspace and what you're doing there.
Yeah, so part of what we've seen is nobody's figured out how to do tokenized loyalty right. Like, there's no touting example, flagship example of this is how we do it. In fact, I would say that the better ones at it are NFT native communities who have figured out how to use tokenization the right way to build their community. We saw Starbucks just deprecated Odyssey. We haven't seen too much from, Nike.Swoosh this year, very active last year. I know Lacoste is, there's all, everyone's trying, but nobody, none of these big brands have figured it out. And for the ones who even try, the barrier is that the development time and the development costs leave out the ability for small brands to get in, or any brand for that size for that matter. So with Keyspace, we like to say that we can help bring brands with no code from Web 2 to Web 3 in under 20 minutes. And we do this, we have a no code software that kind of lives by what we call our 4M methodology: mint, manage, market, measure. And so when you do something, it's actually building into this larger ecosystem. You're not just minting an NFT, you're not building a token gate and having each of those be siloed activations. Everything you do is contributing to this larger vision of tokenized on-chain communities and loyalty. And so what we've done is we've built a software that takes all the complexity of development and costs and time away and made it so that the big brands can have more flexibility in trying this new technology and innovation, and it gives the smaller brands an app back to even have the ability to attempt this. And that's what we're focused on is, whether you're a small community, whether you're a big brand, whether you're in the entertainment space, it's the same functional technology. And so where we stay laser focused on is how do we create the more seamless 4M methodology for our creators and their communities as possible.
Yeah, man, that's a really great point. And you mentioned the Starbucks program. They just announced that they're sunsetting that Odyssey program, but I think there's more to it because that was a successful trial for them, and they ended the announcement with "Look out for some changes to the rewards program." So maybe some element they may roll out to the entire user base. I don't know. I'm still waiting to see that because that case study that came out after, afterwards. It was success. They tried it with a small portion. They made, I would say, significant revenue for the sample size that they used. And I think they also probably saw that those users probably visited the establishment, ordered coffee more often. So I think it was a win for them. And I think we're going to see, we're not, we may see the end of Odyssey, but I don't think it's the end of Starbucks Web3 foray. They're either
I
going to
think that's a good point. I think that's a good point. In fact, I was actually, I use Grok, Twitter X's AI for community sentiment on things, because what it does is it puts a language model on top of tweets and threads. So I can be like, from a community sentiment standpoint, why did Odyssey not work out? And it'll give you a summary, and then it'll quote tweets, which is super cool. Just some alpha, on that's a cool thing to do. But I think, I think one, I think they're going to roll it back out and lean really into AI, because the company behind it is pivoting into AI, which is Forum 3. I think that you're right. The case study was incredible. I mean, the program itself did, I think, $100,000 more than your average store does a year. I remember seeing that. But the activations were too web too. It was like, I'm not like, it was really do these activations so you can earn points, so you can get these things that you can sell. And that is a way to do that, but it's not the way to do that. It also wasn't fully integrated into their whole ecosystem. So it was a very, very siloed test. But here's the cool thing about NFTs. It does not matter what, like it the problem of why it doesn't exist anymore is important to learn from. But the beautiful thing about NFTs is that the NFTs aren't dead. I could set up a tea brand tomorrow and say, hey, if you have a Starbucks Odyssey NFT, you can come burn it right here and get lifetime access to my tea. Or you can come use your Starbucks Odyssey NFT here and get into an Atlanta Hawks game. So there's the opportunity, because when you're putting your campaign, your brand assets on chain, you're taking something that has a limited digital shelf life and you're immortalizing it. And in the process of immortalization, in terms of this digital asset, you can always bring it back to life, revive it, and add utility to it. And if you don't do it, others
Somebody,
can do
yeah.
it. So that's why NFTs are amazing, is no campaign ever has to die. Starbucks Odyssey as a project might be deprecated, but because those NFTs are out there, the project lives on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm thinking about it, man. I had joined that Odyssey program, and I didn't really participate much in it. And I kind of wish I'd have collected some more of those stamps because now, depending on what they go on, I mean, hell, 10 years from now, I could be like, that's rare for, most of those people that don't realize it's a Web3 asset may discard it, not go back to it. And you may only have a limited number that's available to say, hey, look, I've got this. And, it could have some collectible value.
Now, and I don't know what the corporate or franchise rules are for Starbucks, but if I ever find myself owning a Starbucks location, if you have a Starbucks Odyssey, 10% off coffee, just scan your phone here, unlock the token gate, or scan this QR code, unlock the token gate, in perpetuity. Like, there's just so much opportunity. Like, nothing ever has to die. You can always revive. And I just think that that's incredible, an incredible feature of this technology.
And you think about that. I mean, there's from the last NFT, call it hype cycle, there's a lot of NFTs already out there, right? Maybe not all of them didn't go out with the focus of loyalty, but if that group has a certain core value, a certain I don't know, certain aspect that you're looking to market to, then you could do it, without, like I said, even if that project's dead, founders abandon it, but they had, say, 5,000 holders, and they at one point they had a very active community. You can start trying,
One
marketing
thing
to
you'll be
them.
able to do on the Keyspace platform as we get ready to push out 2.0 is you'll actually be able to pull smart contracts from different, let's say coffee adjacent NF coffee or coffee adjacent NFT projects, and then you could pull those in and actually turn all those holders from all projects into an audience segment that's like coffee adjacent NFT holders, and create an audience segment out of that, just like you would create an audience segment on Google Ads using race, income, location, gender, etc. You're doing the same thing now, but based off Web3 buying habits.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. Let's jump into Keyspace again. So, I've used the current version of the platform. You mentioned 2.0 is coming, so I definitely want to touch on that too. But man, it is super easy. And for me, like knowing the space, right? I can go in and within a few minutes, you're right. Like even if someone's brand new, probably within 20 minutes, they can set it up, go and do a mint, an airdrop, build a loyalty program with it. Upload some artwork and get going, and then the 2.0, maybe you can give some insight into that one too, because I'm excited for when that one rolls out, because it look I mean you're just taking something that was already simplified, at least from my perspective, and giving that to where it's just like anybody, the person that knows nothing about Web3 could come in and do it, right?
That's exactly right. I think, from 1.0, which is live, as you've used it, we've got active users on it. We launched it late Q3 last year, 2023. And did a lot of consulting and a lot of time building before that. We started as a company in early 20 or late 2021, but did a lot of consulting and got up to that point. And what I've learned since we've deployed that platform is we did a really good job bringing it from low code to no code. Like, we really did a good job. What we didn't do as good of a job is bringing it from Web3 proficient marketer or community manager, what have you, fill in the ICP, to that's in that category, to doesn't know Web3 well. So the first thing that we learned is, and then this comes from hours and hours of user research, right? Like, if anyone out there is building product, and this is one thing I'm learning, so I might be late to the game here, admittedly, but like, there's a point where it's cyclical, where sometimes you're building with that Steve Jobs, like, or that Henry Ford, like, if I asked my customers what they wanted, we'd have faster horses, kind of thing. And it's like the Steve Jobs, it's like the build it and they will come mentality is really what I'm trying to get to. And then there's the other side, which is, your roadmap should be based on customers and customers only. And I find that to be cyclical, right? So our vision and some a lot of market research got us to our initial point. And so then we pivoted into, well, what does the customer want? And our roadmap is completely dictated by users and these customer roadmaps. And so the two things we learned after conducting hours of user research, and obviously I'm diluting down significantly to get to 2 points, is how do we do these things without needing onboarding, without needing your help? And then what next? And so that actually comes, it's like, One of our, you know, our next outside of our software, our next highest line item of revenue is strategy consulting. As a tech company, how do we take that strategy consulting and put that into a scalable UX on the platform? And so that was the mindset that we came into Keyspace 2.0 with, and what we're building towards with that, where it's how do we make it easier, and how do we inspire the user to know what to do next and keep building their roadmap and keep building their programs, their communities, their on-chain loyalty without needing the help of us, without needing consulting, but using the UX of the software. And I don't want to say too much more around it because we're really keeping it tucked because we're really excited about what we got. But that's kind of that transition from 1.0 to 2.0. You know, 1.0 was bringing it from low code to no code and being able to use it and help people use it. 2.0 is how do we get keys-based human capital out of the equation?
Nice, man. And look, I've told you I've done a lot of consulting as well, and I've always been telling people and businesses about the why they need to use this. And it's the same talking points that you brought up, and we talked about where it's loyalty and other different aspects, loyalty, memberships, so many different use cases. So I'm talking to these companies and people and brands, but there's always been the ones that bit. They're like, okay, I'm interested in pursuing this. Okay, now we got to find devs. Now we got, now it's a ton of work, right? Now we've got to really layer this in to figure out what are the costs, and then you may have to go raise capital. So I'm excited with what you have now and kind of what you gave me a sneak peek of to see, 2.0 coming, because that's really going to accelerate it. Because then people are going to try, and I think that's probably, I think, one of the last parts of my talk in NFT NYC next week is it's new, it's messy. Try something. Try it out, see what sticks, right? And if you don't have to pump tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars into development to build a program, instead they can go to Keyspace, get a membership, or get pay to use that platform, which is a problem, I'm guessing, going to be like a fraction of the cost of what they would pay a developer to build their own custom solution, and try stuff out, see what works. And that's where I think it's going to be cool, because I could see even networks in small towns again, to where, like, if I'm an ice cream shop, I partner with a pizza shop, right? Be like, okay, well, let's do a promo where, if you have this loyalty program, and I can market to your people to where if they come to me with a receipt and that NFT, then they get ice cream after they eat pizza or something. I mean, there's the
No,
possibilities
yeah,
are endless.
exactly. That's the interoperability, right? That is the exciting part about where this, you know, if you believe in a permissionless internet, right? I think that the next version of the internet that's really, you know, Web3 is what we're calling it. But as it manifests, I think there's going to be two key things about it. One is there's going to be ownership and interoperability because it's going to be permissionless. And the other thing is it's going to be one that you walk through, you don't scroll through. And so if you believe in that future, then you understand the importance of getting these digital assets into people's wallets now. And
That
I
the
agree,
more
this is the time to test, right? This is it. You know, when people start figuring it out, just like they did with social media, you don't want to get left behind. In fact, that's why Lacoste is CEO. Lacoste, the company, their CEO said they're getting in now is because they missed the Web2 e-commerce bubble. They didn't hedge their bet on that right, and they're not missing this opportunity.
Yeah, I've actually used them as an example in my talk next week as well too.
There you go.
What Lacoste is doing, and that's what people need to look at big brands and see that. But it's going to be an interesting development and world to see as this comes together, and we start to see, like, building user profiles based off of the collection of NFTs that's in their wallet. To like, I can guess by this what this person likes, like what they're into.
Exactly. That's
Just
exact. And that's, you know, what you just said actually opens up a whole other can of worms, right? Which is the data piece. There's, you know, as Google and Apple kind of crunch down on the third party data that marketers can get, they're scrambling trying to understand how can I connect? And you see this on the internet, you know, if you're in the space, you see it on the internet, but we've talked to customers. I've done lunch and learns with marketing firms. I know this is a real problem. So how do we help you use emerging technology to get first party data? Well, it's easy. The wallet becomes the new browser.
Yeah, and I saw something, and man, I wish I'd have read it fully, but I saved it last night. I didn't even get back to read it yet, but it was talking about some kind of change in the way websites can store cookies or something that's going to impact their ability to collect data.
Yeah, I
And
mean, look at
it
it
was
now.
basically.
Anytime you, yeah, anytime you go to a website, you have to hit accept all, accept all, accept all. Like, that wasn't a thing 2 years ago. And not everyone's hitting accept all, accept all, accept all. You've got more and more people using VPNs. Like, there's a host of different reasons of the push for the wallet being a great source. And by the way, it's not Web3 or Web2. Still get what you can on browsers. But just know that there's this incredible fountain of first-party data that you can get from wallets.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Great point. All right, awesome, man. This has been great to talk about this. I'm passionate about this space as
I'm
much as
excited
you
to
are.
see you
So,
speak next week at NFT NYC. What are
yeah,
you
thanks.
what's the topic again? So we can.
So my topic is right in line with what we're talking about. It's basically how every company, and when I say company, I'm not talking about crypto, Web3. I'm talking every company should utilize NFTs in a Web3 strategy.
Yeah,
I've
beautiful.
heard this said time and time again. I think it was Gary Vee that was the first one to say it, but or at least the first one I heard say it, where you think about 20, 25 years ago, it was crazy to think that every business needed a website. Yet look at where we, because back then, right, they had perfectly good yellow pages. Why would you need a website? And look at where we are today. And then take that same scenario 10 years ago, it was crazy to think that every business needed social media. Yet look at where we are today. I mean, you've got plumbers, you got contractors, construction, that have social media accounts because they realize the importance. And I think the next iteration of that same cycle is Web3 strategy. You need a Web3 strategy, and NFTs are going to have to be at the center of it. Yes, you need to learn how to accept digital assets, crypto payments, especially if you provide services globally, because you're going to realize how much it saves.
For
But
sure.
on top of that, NFTs tapping into that technology, learning how to use it for loyalty, for membership, for all these different and authentication. If you sell a product that's constantly being copied, and the list is endless. So
No,
that's really,
and yeah,
no,
no,
go ahead.
oh, please, Galen.
No, I was just gonna say that's really why I wanted to be on that championing that this is what people need. And I've been doing that for a while. I've been holding emerging tech workshops in New Orleans about why you need a Web3 strategy, emerging tech strategy. But I always had kind of a missing piece because, like I said, those that bit were like, okay, what's next? Okay, we got to find developers. We got to build this. So
No,
perfect
that's
segue into what
exactly.
you're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And man, that's super exciting. And I love meeting people out here evangelizing, because there no one's figured out that right use case for on-chain loyalty like we were talking about. And that's we're excited to just learn that, but learn it through customer deployments, learn it with our community. We just launched something actually called the Keyspace Studio Collective. And it's this exclusive group of users. We're only allowing 50. That's gonna have, they're gonna get their Keyspace Studio Collective badge, and we'll get into token gated chats on our Discord and token gated support and token gated ideation. And that's gonna be our group that we're really gonna work with. That's gonna actively use the software. And there's incentives. There's a whole program. It's on our Twitter if anyone's listening and wants to look into it and apply. But part of the big thing here is about co-creation and community. And so we want to find out what are those use cases? Where is the business impact? What do y'all care about? And where can this technology, not just Keyspace, but NFTs as a whole, fit into your stack, into your campaigns? And that's what we're super excited, because along with 2.0, it's not just the new platform, it's the Keyspace Studio Collective, it's new messaging, and it's really finding where is the PMF, the product market fit for on-chain loyalty? And what is it going to take? And what does that look like tomorrow? And what does that look like in 5 years?
Nice.
And I assume that that question keeps both of us up at night.
It does, man. I go down that rabbit hole all the time. So, man, it's been a pleasure. As we start to wrap up, can you tell everybody where they can find out more about Keyspace and follow you guys?
Yeah, at Keyspace Studio on X. Keyspace, like a key, so KEY space studio, the word space, not the button. Our Discord link is in our bio. Our website is keyspace.studio, not keyspacestudio.com, keyspace.studio. But really hit us on Twitter and start there. So at Keyspace Studio. And then, you know, you'll see some retweets from me on there. If you want to follow me personally, you know, go look on that Twitter or at Jonathan Hessing. But definitely looking forward to anyone to connect with anyone who's interested or into the space already, or anyone in Web3 in general, because it's truly, I think, going to take a village of people building not just speculative use cases of this technology, but real, you know, fundamental KPI driven value prop use cases. And I think we need to work together to be able to get this and drive, you know, the most, you know, I love the cliche because it's a good North Star, the next billion users into Web3.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely check out Keyspace. Now, that doesn't, whether you're a business owner, business professional, or even if you're a, you know, marketing studio that wants to add another way to where you can offer your client something unique, right? It's really going to be catered.
Another tool in your toolbox, yeah. Not a replacement of your toolbox.
Right. Absolutely. Cool. So check those out. Definitely looking forward to seeing you next week, Jonathan, at NFT NYC.
Yeah, meeting in person.
Absolutely, man. Anybody else that's listening, if you're going to be around there, stop by and say hi. Other than that, Jonathan, any final words before we wrap up?
No, I mean, let's build together the true Web3 way, and super, super excited to not only meet you, but see you on stage and speak. And any way I can support you, and I, you know, I'd love to do that. And anyone listening, if you want to, you know, connect, I, you know, let's make it happen. I'm definitely excited to connect with everyone in the space. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh.
Awesome speaking to you as always. Weird that this one only went 30 minutes and not 2.5 hours, but that's okay.
Oh man, I could go 2.5 hours, but I try to keep it around 30 yeah. minutes or less, just because that's.
Well, I know. Every time you and I hop on a call together, we just go.
Absolutely, man.
And so thanks for having
pleasure.
Me.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us again, man. And thanks everybody for listening. And we will catch you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.